Blog Talk Radio.
Party. Happy, happy birthday to you. Happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Now you're 1 year older.
Happy birthday.
Your life still isn't over.
Happy birthday.
You did not accomplish much, but you didn't die this year. I guess that's good enough.
I didn't realize that he says you didn't accomplish much, but you didn't die, so I guess it's... Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Today is Wednesday, February 23rd. We're back on just 2 days' rest, and it is a very special evening because today is my partner, Eddie's birthday. And let me tell you something. Howard Stern may be the king of all media, but my friend Eddie, he's on Ranger Crisis. He's on the HF boards, the OTG. He is on Twitter. He is on Facebook. He is on Blog Talk Radio. He is the king of all social media. Eddie, happy birthday and good evening. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight after that great intro and the well wishes. That was funny. Yeah, let's say.
You may not have accomplished much, but you didn't die.
That about sums it up. I didn't accomplish much, but I didn't die.
Well, my friend, in honor of your birthday, tonight I am going to drink on the air. I'm going to pop open a cold beer as we speak.
Here's
to you, my friend.
Tonight's a kind of special. Let it be low and brow.
Ah, oh, that's tasty.
Oh, nice. I see the chat room has been giving me all well wishes for my birthday, and I thank each and every one of them and the people on Facebook. It's made it extra special. And my wife got me a trip to a safari to Botswana, which I've always been. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No, I thought, why would I want to go to Botswana? I don't even know if that exists anymore.
You have to brush up on your click.
My click.
Live from Botswana, it's Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Oh, man, you know.
From a zebra somewhere in the bush, Eddie Geik.
I'm probably part of the safari. Somebody would shoot me with a dart gun. You're really into this Botswana thing now.
It's funny.
I just threw it out there.
What did you get for your birthday?
I got some Ranger shirt, the gift certificate thing, goes up the... I didn't really... I got, a lot of stuff that, is really mundane, but I needed a new... Not mundane, but I needed a new graphics card for my computer, so my wife got me that, just stuff like that. Because I'm playing this online video game now, and I can't discuss it because it makes me look really nerdy. And I know you guys look up to me. It's probably
4 hours
your
internet radio a week.
What?
More so than 4 hours of internet radio a week.
Well, I have I have a very masculine, virile, masculine following.
That's true.
That looks up to me as a man, not just as a hockey deity that I am.
That's true.
And if I were to divulge what game I actually play online, people would think I'm a geek, not a geek. So, No, not my Lord of the Rings.
I've
since moved on from Lord of the Rings into even a bigger stratosphere of geek.
What is it called? World of Warcraft?
Nah, I can't get it there. Too many kids play that. People of my ilk, we look down at the World of Warcraft people because they're a bunch of hack and slashers, as we call it.
You look down
no,
on that.
This is a side of me I cannot divulge.
Okay. Mario wants to know if you need a graphics card for Farmville.
Farmville, yeah, baby.
Yo, Mario, to finish his farm, can you please help him out?
I need that graphics card for Farmville. Mario's right. Just to get those high-quality graphics in that Mafia Wars or whatever those games are, which I've never actually tried on Facebook.
I see too many people obsessed with that stuff, and I have to block every one of their updates.
It's not my bag, baby.
Cut off.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about what's relevant. Though I do appreciate you taking out a couple minutes to honor me with a song that is really really slags me, really, which I like. I didn't accomplish much anything, but at least I'm not dead. And well, was bad. Now, we're about to do the transition now. Now,
right here.
Right here, right there. I mean, we got something to talk about tonight, folks. First of all, me and Jim were almost in a little bit of an argument, a tiff, before we went on about a certain subject, but...
Oh. Hello? We just lost the birthday boy again. He got so upset, he hit the hung-up button. So, all right, well, we'll get Eddie back in a minute. But just a reminder, in about 25 minutes, we've got Mike Hume from ESPN New York coming on. He covers the Rangers as well as the other two New York area teams for ESPNNewYork.com. So we'll talk to Mike and get his thoughts. It's his first year on the beat, as they say, just like Jesse Spector, who I don't know if you read his blog, but apparently today he had he had a little run-in with the law in North Carolina. So you check him out at Blue Shirt Blog. So, yeah, I'm watching Dig Deep here in the chat room. We got the argument and so much that he hung up. He's quit. He's resigned. We're auditioning for new hosts. Next week, me and Robbie doing this show. So, anyway, Eddie should be back. I don't know what happened. He should be back in a minute, I'm sure. So, we'll talk about last night's game, and we'll talk about the Mark Stahl, what went on with him and his brother again with that, and the trade deadline heating up. And then we got the topic that Eddie and I were just discussing before we went on the air, that we're on opposite sides of the fence on. We debated it on Blue Shirt Banner as well today, so we'll talk about it in a few minutes. As soon as maybe the new graphics card crapped out his computer, that would be something, wouldn't it? So anyway, all right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to the phones real quick, since we'll try and fit you guys in before 8:30, although I'm sure most of you are calling to wish Eddie happy birthday, and now he's not here. But I'll bring Robbie on first, because he was first in line, as always. I think Robbie just sits by the phone and waits until Blog Talk Radio starts taking calls, and he's always first in the queue. So good evening, Robbie. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Hang on. I think we got Eddie back. Are you back, Eddie?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Jim and I had this argument before the show, and I got so upset that I hung up.
I was so PO'd at you, I decided to hang up on you.
Go get Dave for your stupid show, Schmiedeberg.
Yeah, 2 days. Happy birthday, Eddie. 2 days after my birthday. Pretty cool, isn't it?
That's a good act to follow, that I follow your birthday. And Zach's father's birthday, I think, was on the 21st as well. It's 21st as well.
That's good. Now, do I ask the question of how old you are?
Oh, God. I'm 46 years old.
I'm sorry. Well, that's not too old,
maybe,
I guess.
Sorry. Do you realize that I am almost 30 years older than you, Robbie?
Yes, I do.
And you know what?
And a millennium wiser.
We're equals, financially and emotionally. No. Robbie, I want to say to you, God bless the children. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, thank you. One time told me that hopefully you'll take over the show when Jim and I are both dead.
Yeah. When I'm dead, yes. It's going to be me and Jim are dead. It's going to be you and Zach.
Robbie is the heir apparent.
Yes. Yeah, Zach and I, because we're the youngest of Blue Shirt Bastard people.
Right. Oh, no, it's what have younger.
You might be waiting us out as long as Prince Charles, Robbie. This is all we've got. This is all Eddie and I have. I mean, why do you think we do this two times a week?
You guys are great. But what do we think of Volsky's shot last night? That was a rocket.
Yeah.
Pretty
good. The Polish prince there, the schnoz, Jimmy Durante, whatever you want to call him, great shot. You know, it was a rough game. You got to admit, Robbie, that was a tough game to watch. I was going to say, a lot of my Ranger fan compadres, some of them in this room, who I will not mention, I will just look at the guilty parties and whistle, like High C, bailed on that game when it was 3-2.
Oh.
Because they just couldn't take the heartache.
How can you bail on them? Oh, is that what we've come to? Has it been that bad that we're bailing already?
Jim,
come
we're
on,
a suffering
I
franchise.
See.
But I am. Yeah, you're right. You got to stay loyal to sick and sin. I had a feeling that they were actually going to lose that, but, you know, they came out on top. So.
Now, Robbie,
What were you saying, Eddie?
Did you watch the whole game?
Yeah, so I guess I watched from beginning to end. And then watched when and then Volsky. So, pretty honestly, like I do with all my sports teams. I'm loyal, and I love them all.
Well, I do forgive High C because his real life is like a, you know, an embolism away in his head from collapsing. So, what's going on? I could see the stress of that game may be too much for him. So, I do pardon High C. He's been through the wars many times. So, I will give him a temporary pardon only because it's my birthday.
He watched Rangers when men were playing hockey.
Yes. So, Robbie, what'd you think? Wolski shot. Got
rocket.
Credit for that goal.
And I don't know what sorry to interrupt you, but what does Bjorn tell them to do? It just all the time. I mean, this time Christensen and Zuccarello didn't score, but he's like excellent. I don't know. Once he retires, they better hire him as a shootout coach, seriously, or like an assistant coach or something. I don't know. But he just like he knows what he's doing and it works. So I don't know. Thought it was good.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that we mentioned the Volsky shootout goal because apparently Tortorella was not going to use him again if he missed because he hadn't, you know, been all that great. But I love the way he came down the right side there and kind of got an angle on the guy. And I don't know if you guys watched the post game, but they were lauding Marty Bjuren for whatever advice he gave to Volsky.
I don't know. I would like to hear him. He's got to put a mic check on him.
Marty Bjuren was the first star of the game last night, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there you go. But that was also a perfect power play goal by Callahan. It was a perfect shot, and then it just deflected right through the legs of Cam Ward. So that was also – this looks like the power play going a little bit better.
Yeah, that was a nice play. That was something we've been asking for. A player in front of the net, like you said, a perfect setup all the way. And, it still worries me that the Rangers can't win a game in regulation because they have to go to shootout. When was the last time Barry Gibb, who is our statistician tonight, Barry, when was the last time the Rangers had a regulation win?
That was when they played the Penguins. The Penguins game on the Sunday.
Oh, the Penguins.
Right? Am I wrong?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm looking.
I asked Barry Gibb.
I'm looking, mate.
I live it all!
Hockey night! Hockey night!
Oh, my God.
That's correct. Robbie is correct. Sunday, February 13th against the Pittsburgh Penguins, a 5-3 victory. There you go.
There you go. Okay, since you reminded me of that, Jim, that commercial for Hockey Night Live is just like, I mean, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's just, especially at the end when they have Ron Duguay wink. I mean, are you really?
Well, he's headed to Studio 54. Well, you don't even know what Studio 54 is. I wanted to pull the audio from that commercial, and I just forgot. We'll have it for next week, I promise, so we can goof on it. Yeah. All right, listen, Robbie, we got a couple other calls we're squeezing before we get to our guest. But thank you for calling, sir.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime. Happy birthday, Eddie. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Robbie. Take care, man.
All right. Sure. Take care. Bye. Right, see you later.
Bye.
All right, let's keep the calls coming. We will squeeze you guys in as fast as we can before 8:30. Newman, go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mr. Guy. Happy birthday to you.
Ooh, I like it. It's very jazzy. I said I like it. It's very jazzy. It's very upbeat.
You
can buy the next round.
He said
I will buy the next round for you. I will buy the next round of pancakes for you.
Well, thank
click,
you, John.
Click, buddy, pancakes for you. Happy birthday. 46 years old, right, Eddie?
Yeah, 46. Boy, does time fly.
Not a gray hair on you either.
Sorry.
You know, not the other thing about the game the other night. I thought it was great, by the way. I thought it was great. And we're still undefeated going into the third period. Undefeated, 21-0.
Yeah.
We have the lead. We have the lead, yes.
21-1-0, undefeated. Undefeated going into the third with the lead.
Right, yeah. That is kind of impressive when you think about it.
It is. Very impressive.
That's 70% of our wins this year, fellas, coming after the third period, coming into the third period leading and winning.
You're absolutely right.
But M. Leach just threw up a stat here. 3 regulation wins in the last 19 games.
Yeah.
We got to win. This is getting a little crazy here.
Stats are overrated.
It's our birthdays, by the way, but we don't go there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, I love my birthday.
Well, everybody loves their birthday. Everybody does everything for you. You don't do shit.
Oh.
Hey.
Well, it's true. It's true, though, Eddie. Come on.
What?
Block Talk Radio. Well, Talk. Yeah, they canceled you. They booted you. Now look at them. Now look at everybody's doing here. They're going to wish happy birthday all night, including myself. All you have to do is show up. They're going to wish you happy birthday. You go to the station, they're going to give you a free meal tonight.
I already got a. Well, I don't need any free meals. That's what it sounds like. But, in your own way, I think you're saying happy birthday, Eddie, you son of a bitch. And that's what I want to hear.
Happy birthday, you son of a bitch. That's correct.
All right. That's what I want to hear.
All right.
That's
Newman,
right.
Go get your pancakes. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you son of a bitch. Have fun tonight. Good luck with
Bye.
Spectre.
Okay, we don't have Jesse Spectre. Bye. Dumbass. Good luck with Spectre.
Good luck with Jesse Spectre.
God love him. Good luck, Larry Brooks, tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Good luck with Darren Drager.
Tonight. Make things up. In Newman's world, anything can happen.
All right. Let me just throw this out there. We got 10 minutes until Alex gets here. There's a bunch of people on hold on the switchboard. So nobody else call in right now, okay? Take phone call the other side of the guests. So let's get through who's on the switchboard. Try and get. I know we're gonna have to cut you guys short tonight. I apologize, but we got a guest lined up. So let's get to everybody. 630-618. You're on Blue Shirt Fan Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. It's Adam. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Adam. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I didn't hit the one button, but what the heck? I'll join. Why not? First of all, happy birthday, of course.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, boy. Last night was a little bit annoying for me because I couldn't see the game. The illegal internet stream went out. So, I had to stick with the radio feed, which is 3 or 4 minutes from reality.
Yeah.
I couldn't even look at the chat room because, you know, basically, I think it was like the fourth shot of the shootout. You know, that was going on in the chat room. And meanwhile, I'm listening to the radio, and they're saying, and I hear Dave Maloney, Martin Biron is getting ready to coach here, you know, for whatever he was saying. So, but, you know, you'll take the 2 points any day of the week. And I really felt last night was, it really was a must-win game, or as close as it could be, especially with Carolina right on their tails. And we didn't need to give them any more, you know, life and momentum than they already had. So you get the 2 points and you take it.
Now, Jim, people are saying that your audio is a little bit choppy.
Yeah, I see that. I told them to refresh page because everything sounds fine on my end.
It sounds choppy on my end, but then again, my end has been vastly
Does it?
Explored throughout the years.
Hey now!
I'm only joking.
Does it really sound bad?
For where I am, but that doesn't matter. You know, sometimes it.
Yeah, it's choppy for me too. Something about Studio J. You don't have all the technology hooked up yet.
No, I got all the technology. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna hang up. Let Eddie carry you for a minute there, and I'll be right back. Okay. We'll try that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. It's
all right, Eddie. It's all yours.
You do that. You need that graphics card, Mario said. It's your Farmville. Well, Adam, why I got you on the line, let's talk about something. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Philadelphia Flyers have put Nikolaj Zverev on waivers. And Ranger fans, some of them, would like to see Nikolaj Zverev back on this team because of the relatively low cost of having him on the team. And they think anybody is better than Erik Christensen. What do you think?
I think the only point I agree with is that anybody is better than Erik Christensen, except for the shootouts. I am embarrassed to admit that, you know, since I do watch the Western Conference a little more, you know, living out here, I was watching Zverev a little bit when he was playing in Columbus. And, you know, you could definitely see the talent. You know, plenty of guys have talent. But, you know, I really thought this guy had it was a pretty unique package. And, you know, when the Rangers made the trade, I was pumped up. I was really, really excited to have him on the team. And I was telling my dad, I was telling my uncle, you know, like all the Ranger fans, my family, you know, this guy, you know, he may be a little bit of an enigma, but if he clicks, he will be something else. And, you know, I tried to defend him to a little bit, and what really got me was the way he disappeared in the playoff series against the Capitals. I can't emphasize that enough. This is a guy who did not show up for the big games, and any Ranger fan who wants to bring this guy back should remember that. He faded away when the games got big. So the answer is no. I don't need Zverev back on this team. I don't care if he costs 10 cents.
Jim, you've been replaced. Because I agree. Because me and Jim were fighting before the show, arguing about Zverev. Jim, give me your take. I know you're back. I hear you shortling in the back. What do you think about the whole Zverev thing?
Well, look, I look at it this way. If Gabrick is out for an extended period of time, which we don't know yet, but it appears that he may be. And I understand what Adam just said about costing 10 cents. But for $500,000, he's got to give you more production than Chris Newberry or Erik Christensen. I take him back for the two months that are left in the season and whatever happens in the playoffs. Well, whatever. If he fools me again, well, then shame on me. But I'm willing to take another chance.
Well,
I'm hoping he's 2 years older and 2 years wiser.
Well, this is what was said by Holmgren after Zverev and his agent said, you know, listen, we want to go elsewhere. So he's already been grumbling that he wants to go elsewhere. This contributed to him being put on waivers. I think for a period of time he was good, but he obviously has 15 goals and limited power play time and limited minutes. But over the course of time, things have eroded. I think Nick's worth ethic has probably dropped off. And right now he's just not fitting in. So I
he
just
fits
think
in when they play the Rangers. Yeah. You bitched just fine for those games.
That's a good point. I just, and I think it was Wazili or somebody else mentioned it. He butted heads with Tortorella before. Tortorella did not like him because of his work ethic. I just they're not going to go after him, and I don't want him. I don't want these toe-dragging guys on the team.
You know, unless
they're proven.
I remember when Kovalev came back. Remember when Alex Kovalev came back after his run with Pittsburgh? A lot of people were pretty excited to have him back. You know, I certainly was. Where was he when he came back from for a second tour of duty with the Rangers? Can we remember how bad that was? I think most of us would acknowledge that Kovalev is a better player than Zhirinov. You know, I don't need to see part two of Zhirinov again. Sorry. And I supported him. Let me emphasize that. I wanted him to do well here.
Okay.
So, we could disagree. It's cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I say for $500,000, which is tip money to this team, take him back. What, if he doesn't perform, then you sit him. So what? Big deal. It's a $500,000 gamble. To this team, that's nothing. If you're paying the captain $7 million to do nothing, you can pay a guy $500,000 and take a chance.
You don't go back. What have I told you 100 times on this show?
Yeah, I know. You don't
we
go back.
We
but...
once. We don't go back. Or you want to get Jed Ortmeyer back.
Oh, God, no. I don't want Jed Ortmeyer back. At least we know Zhirinov could score. I take Leach back to run this power play. Take him back in a second. Even though I'm annoyed with him at playing in the Bruins alumni game. It ticked me off. Anyway, all right, listen, Adam, I'm going to try and squeeze in some other calls before our guest gets here, but thanks for calling, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
No problem. Sorry I can't be in the chat room tonight. Everyone have a good time, okay?
That's okay. Take it
easy.
Hey,
Adam. Take care, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, let's see. I think we got a new caller here. 434-249. You're on Blue Shirt Panda Radio. Who's this?
This is Mike. How you guys doing?
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I got one thing coming up from the game last night, and that was McDonough and Sauer. I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess a lot of people were attributing that third goal for Carolina to Sauer having some kind of lapse. Excuse me. But he was well aware of it. And I don't know if he borrowed Gabrick's groins for the rest of that period, but, I mean, for the entire rest of the game, he was going for it. And I wanted to give him his proper respect. The same thing with McDonough, too. Because he was just kicking ass the entire game. And that's pretty much all I got on that one.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have been fantastic, you know.
Absolutely.
Sauer's been fantastic all year. McDonough, since, you know, his call-up has been great. Yeah, I thought they kind of got a little, they were a little too hard on Sauer, kind of blaming him on the goal. Especially Ron Duguay was like, he
right.
sort of covered him. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. It's tough. Stay it alive.
Absolutely.
My wife looked at him on TV last night and said, "Does he know it's not 1979 anymore?" And I said, "I don't think so."
I'm not sure he cares.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
that was the thing, you know. He said that, and you know, he's going after Sauer for a bit, and you know, I just totally disagreed with him on that one, but. That's neither here nor there.
So what did you gather anything else from that game, you know, from watching it? Did you think the Rangers had the muster to come back in that game, or were you bailing like some of our other Ranger faithful or unfaithful?
Oh, upset. I stuck it out, but there was a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach. I'm not going to lie. I've been watching the Rangers long enough to know better, so... But, yeah, I stuck it out and watched the whole game. And, of course, they pulled it out. So, I mean, this could be the turning over of a new old leaf, so to speak. But, hey, if they can keep it going, all well and good. Well, I guess the
what
last
about...
thing I've got. Oh, no, go. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, one of the things that I have kind of observed, I don't know if you all have ever watched the league. No, it's football related. But they've got this thing where they talk about folks being class acts. And I was observing something similar where they talk about Russian folks being enigmas. So it's that, you know, you call maybe Russian player an enigma just because when they're not producing or something like that. And it's this wonderful euphemism that they have for kind of lazy Russians. Now, I mean, I don't necessarily buy into it one way or the other, but I just think it's kind of one of these interesting things that you'll hear hockey commentators say from time to time. Rarely is it going to say, you know, some guy from Medicine Hat, wherever that is.
Right.
They're not going to say, this guy's an enigma. And it's sort of this interesting little catch that they do. And, I mean, again, neither here nor there, but it is an observation that I've had. And it certainly applies to Zhirga. Kovalev as well, for that matter. But that's pretty much
right.
It.
Yeah, you do see that a lot. They're not going, you know, he's a lazy guy from, you know, Moose Jaw, you know,
right.
Or he's a lazy Canadian. Oh, that is Volsky's a lazy Canadian.
He's a lazy black guy.
Defense.
You never hear that?
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's true.
It's true. They don't bring down race in hockey. It's like, oh, he's a lazy white guy. You never hear that.
Right.
It's all ethnic. It's still an ethnic slam, no matter how you slice it. Gomez, lazy Mexican, right?
And the same thing, they never called him.
That fear is getting to you already.
Sandwiches.
I mean, it's ethnically marked, right? And that's the interesting thing about it is that you'd never hear them saying Gomez was an enigma. They'd just be like, oh, well, Gomez was slacking. So there's this interesting thing that they do with European folks that are a little bit different than, say, a Canadian guy or an American guy. Something I've missed, but, you know, it's nothing super problematic. You know, in the same way that you can, you know, say somebody...
I just don't think you can paint any ethnic group with a brush, you know what I mean? And there are people out there that do it. This guy's a lazy Ukrainian, this guy's lazy this guy's a soft Frenchman, and there are people out there that do it. There's a very popular hockey blogger that does it all the time and has caught a lot of hell for it. I'm not going to mention his name.
It's, you know, also the old-time players and the players that, you know, from the 80s, you know, that they hate all the Europeans.
Right.
You know, like Ron Greschner came out and said, you know, I don't want to see Swedes playing in this league. These lazy Euros and stuff. And I said, what about Anders Hedberg? Was he a lazy Euro?
You got that one.
He played with a lot of great European players. You know, and
right.
I think it's just a matter that these guys took their jobs away from him, you know, with that whole European influx, the Eastern Bloc influx in the 90s. And, you know, I think it's unfair, you know, in a lot of ways that we label. But you know what, though? If you talk to a lot of hockey scouts, they'll tell you. The players that are coming out of Russia now are one-dimensional. I mean, they're all offense. So in the NHL, you know, they're looking at more at the Swedes and the Finns than
that. Or diminutive forwards from Norway.
Yeah, the diminutive forward from Norway. Listen, Mike, our guest is ready to go, so I gotta cut you off. I apologize, but call us back on the next show, okay?
You got it, man. You'll be good. Take care.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
And James, I know you're on hold. I'm going to ask you to call back maybe a little later in the show after we've talked to our guest. I promise I'll put you on. I apologize. I just didn't have time to get to you. But I know you're there, so if I see you pop back up on the switchboard later, we'll get right to you. So without further ado, let's welcome in Mike Hume. Mike is covering the Rangers and those other two teams in the New York area for ESPN New York. Mike, Jim, and Eddie, welcome to Blue Shirt Band Radio. We appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here. And Eddie, happy birthday. I understand it's
Mike,
a very special day.
I have to say, Mike, the fact that you wished me a happy birthday, this is from ESPN. Is the whole ESPN behind these birthday wishes? This will make me feel even better.
I made some calls to Bristol. We're going to have John Amarante pop out of a cake and sing happy birthday to you a little later tonight. So, don't turn anyone away from your door if you see some strangers out there.
Just make sure John Taylor is secure.
I am honored. Let me tell you.
John's getting up there in years. I don't think John does much popping out of anything these days.
More of a slow rise, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Mike, we're glad to have you on the program, and it's your first year covering the Rangers, correctly, for ESPN? Am I right on that?
That is true, yes.
So how's it going so far? We'll play get to know you a little bit before we get into the brass tacks. So how's it going so far? Your first year on the beat?
Oh, it's been great. It's been a great experience. I mean, I'd like to make one distinction that I definitely am not out there on the front lines like the Jesse Spectors and the Larry Brookses and the Andrew Groses. So I definitely don't have that same level of exposure, but I'm able to cover just about every home game that I'm in town for, and it's been a blast. I mean, getting to cover hockey for a living is just about as good as it gets.
So, do you have access to the team? Do you get to interview Tortorella? How's your?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I have a season credential, and basically, it's just a matter of how much exposure we're able to get on ESPN New York. So we have a couple other guys that help me out with the blog. Obviously, Don LaGreca contributes every once in a while as well. But it's only part of my gig. The other part is working for ESPN Insider and doing the hockey editing for them.
Oh, okay, cool. Give us your thoughts on the Rangers so far this year, and then we'll get into some of the more specific things that are going on with the team.
I mean, just in general, you can't help but be impressed with this team. I mean, they don't have the sort of elite talent that a lot of the other Eastern playoff teams have, and yet here they are, in seventh place, which is probably about right for them, but they've been slumping lately, and if they were playing, their A game, they'd probably be in sixth place by now. Maybe even ahead of the Capitals, who are, completely foundering. So, the character on this team is definitely the biggest thing, and it's obviously something that resonates with fans, too. They got a lot of high character guys that are going to go and win puck battles, guys that are going to drop their gloves for teammates. And it seems from that point of view, not having covered the team last year, but just from hearing other people talk about last year's team, that seems to be a little bit more of a defining factor this season than last. So, if it comes down to those final few games, and we saw it last night, I think, this is a team that's going to go out and get those few points.
Now, what do you think changed in this team between? I know you weren't around last year, but do you have any insight on what changed between last year and this year with this team? Because last year this was a team that didn't stand up for each other much,
right,
didn't really work hard much. They kind of just flopped around in multiple 2-1 wins or losses. And what do you think has changed?
Well, I think some of the guys that are willing to do the dirty work and, win the puck battles, stand up for themselves, got a year older. And like I said, this is just based on what I'm seeing this year. I mean, Ryan Callahan and Brandon Dubinsky have been, just as integral in the locker room this season as Captain Chris Drury. And I think that sort of sentiment has a tipping point once you get more guys in the room that are willing to do it. And the rookies have been great. Emminger, when he's come in, he's played tough, very hard men since the start of the season. It's contagious, and you don't want to be the guy that's letting your team down. I mean, last year, if I remember correctly, Gavrik basically assaulted behind the goal one game, and no one stepped in. I mean, you can't let that happen. You can't let your best player get, mugged and sit there and, just not do anything about it. I mean, this team... obviously, they brought in Bugard. I mean, he really hasn't been a factor lately. I mean, he's been out since, past couple of months. And, these guys are willing to drop the gloves from Michael Sauer down.
He hasn't been a factor, period.
Yeah.
Except for he's provided us with some great comedy for this show.
I can imagine.
I am a gentleman of the people, a person of the people. So I got some questions for Mr. Hume from from the chat room here. They want to ask, Jay wants to know why can I get FAN all the way out in Pittsburgh, but I can't listen to a Ranger games on ESPN radio in my car while I'm driving in New Jersey?
Jay,
do you really think he has the answer to that?
Just so we're clear, Mike,
on the tower?
Mike covers the Rangers. He is not an engineer for the station.
Yeah, Matt and me, not so much. Just an English major. But I think that clearly calls for buying a new car.
Yes. I mean, come on. Well, you know, and Mike, you bring up an interesting point about the hardworking team, and a lot of Ranger fans, you know, they wanted to translate into playoffs and wins, of course, like we all do. But really, this is a team, I think, in the years that I've been following, it's really, you're really easy to get behind and really be proud that you're a Ranger fan, because these guys do come out and play hard every night. Now, there's, you know, certain deficiencies and certain things they, you know, lack, especially scoring, and the power play has been a problem, you know. But I think you have to agree with me, and you actually did, by saying that, you know, the Rangers work and they stick up for teammates and they're young. And this is three things we've been clamoring for years. So I guess I was wondering, what do you feel the team is, where do you think they're right now? Do you think they're a playoff team? Do you think they have what it takes to make the playoffs? Or would you be just happy, you know, I know you're just reporting on them. It's a little bit different than being a fan, but do you see them making the playoffs, or, you know, do you think enough progress was made already, whether they make it or not?
Yeah, I think if you're a Ranger fan, you're not going to be happy if they make the playoffs, just because they put themselves in a pretty good position to do so. And personally, I think they are going to make it. I mean, if you look at a lot of the surrounding odds and the playoff probabilities on like Hockey Reference and some other sites that are out there that calculate it far better than I ever could by looking at standings, I mean, you definitely see a lot of signs that are pointing that they're going to make it. I mean, they're in seventh. They have a little bit of a cushion on the Hurricanes. But after that, I mean, you got to figure not only one team has to catch them, but two teams have to catch them. So the Canes and somebody else is going to have to pass them. And, I mean, maybe the Sabres make a run. Maybe Miller gets hot and they win a lot of one-goal games. But, I mean, that offense just doesn't scare me if I'm another team in the NHL. You know, I know you're not competing directly against the Hurricanes and the Sabres, you know, from here on out. But, I mean, I think the Rangers have a pretty favorable schedule. I was looking at it before, and they play 9 non-playoff teams in the last 20 games. So, I mean, that's a pretty sizable chunk when you consider that, you know, 16 out of 30 teams make the playoffs every year. So that's a pretty good factor they have in their favor. But, you know, like you said, I don't know if I am happy if they miss the playoffs this year, just for the fact that they've played so well, and it would be a disappointment. I mean, I certainly would have a positive outlook next season. I think they have a lot of great young talent in place, and the character guys that we've been raving about already are certainly going to be back. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot to be excited about next year. But, yeah, I think you'd probably have a right to be bummed if they fell short.
Well, yeah, our expectations have kind of changed, unfortunately. Fortunately or unfortunately, I guess. You know, I've maintained that, you know, of course, this season isn't about this season. It's about, you know, next year and the year after and the year after. But, you know, they played so well the first 3 months of the season that, you know, they really have changed a lot of expectations, I guess, including mine. And, you know, I've said all along that I'd be okay if they missed the playoffs, but, you know, the closer they get to it, the closer we get to April, you know, the more I start thinking I'm going to be bummed if they don't make the playoffs.
Right. And it's exactly that. Like, they've come so far. What it would mean now if they missed would be an epic collapse down the stretch. And that's what would probably be the most disappointing, is that they just didn't have that last little gasp that would take it to clinch the spot. And that would probably be the most disappointing rather than the large-term picture.
Yeah, and, you know, especially now with 20 games left, I mean, it's within reach. And,
yeah,
you know, it would be a terrible blow to the Ranger fan psyche. And, you know, the panic button is already starting with a lot of, you know, you peruse these other boards and you see what's going on with the fans, and they're looking for that you know, the way to solve the offensive problem. Do you see the Rangers as buyers or sellers, or just staying out of it at the trading deadline?
I mean, I just a gut feeling, I think they're going to be buyers, and I think they're going to try and go as big as they can. I mean, it's still the Rangers. I think they definitely invested in youth, and they have that long-term outlook that they're going to, you know, they're going to be building behind, you know, the Stephans, the McDonoughs. the Chris Kreiders and just going from there. And but I still think that they're going to pull the trigger and try and make themselves better. You know, maybe they don't get Brad Richards if he's available. Maybe they try and go after somebody, you know, Alice Hemsky or Tim Connolly or somebody like that. That just is sort of a marginal piece. I think they do something. I don't know if that's going to be the piece that, you know, that takes them over the top. I think Brad Richards would be. He's just an exceptional player. But I don't know if the Rangers are going to want to pay that price. I mean, they're going to have to trade probably their first-round pick, maybe Dylan McElrath. I know the Stars would be high on him. And then probably somebody from their current roster, either Stepan Zuccarello, you know, and those guys are probably going to be off limits. Maybe not Zuccarello, but Stepan certainly is going to be untouchable, I would think. So, and those are the guys they're going to be asking for. So, I mean, I think they'll do something. I don't know how big it's going to be.
Okay, well, you know, I have a question.
I just want to say real quick that, you know, that's an interesting point that Mike makes about McElrath is about Dallas, because I mean, weren't we hearing after the draft that Dallas was thinking of taking him?
Yes, we actually had him on one of our mock drafts for ESPN Insider. We had him going to Dallas for quite a bit when he was he just started shooting up the boards, and then they decided they wanted Campbell just a little bit more, and you know, you can't really fault him for that. Campbell's a sensational goalie, but you know there's going to be interest there, and now that they've made the Goligoski trade. Their interest is probably more on a physical, you know, sort of shutdown defenseman than a puck mover like Michael Delzato or somebody like that.
And now I wanted to maybe bring this up to you guys, and this is like this kind of cross sports related. We have the Knicks signing Carmelo Anthony, making a big splash for the Dolphins.
Help us.
Do you think that kind of mentality is going to spill over to the Rangers and Glenn Sather? That he is going to try, maybe more. Will he be more inclined to do something of the same? That kind of got in my head.
Yeah,
you know, with the publicity.
I think that's a really interesting question, and I honestly don't know. I mean, they've been so good about being smart with their money, being smart with their trades, that it finally seems like they're on the right course. You know, I think the Knicks made a mistake. Yeah, I think unless they can get a point guard that can come in and help it, they've made a big mistake. And I really believe in building through the draft, but maybe that's because I'm a hockey guy and not a basketball NBA guy. You know, it's a different mentality. There's more holes to fill in hockey. You can get three key veterans and probably win an NBA championship. We saw it in Boston. You know, we could see it again in Miami. But in hockey, I mean, you really, you know, one guy is not going to do it for you. I mean, how many cups have the Washington Capitals won since they've gotten Alex Ovechkin? You know, and he's got three other All-Stars with him, practically. So, I mean, you know, maybe there is a little bit of an extra push from above, but I think that would be the only place it would be coming from. You know, I think Brad Richards does make sense for a lot of reasons, but, you know, I don't know. You know, you raise a very interesting question. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out with, you know, if there is any sort of pressure to match for the back page of the tabloids.
It's going to be interesting. For sure. I really thought them as just standing pat until that was, you know, the Carmelo signing was. Then I said, wait a minute, you know, because, you know, I'm sure Dolan's loves the accolades and loves the positive media he's getting for a change. And then, you know, it may change the Rangers' thinking. But I think you got to go with got you here to a certain extent. I mean, you know, they played through the injuries. They've been banged up. I mean, really, I don't think enough emphasis has been put on how bad the New York Rangers have been beaten up and just totally decimated through injuries. They really don't get enough credit for that, that they are where they are, and they've played with pretty much not a very healthy team for most of the season. I mean, there's got to be – where are you on John Tortorella and so far? Because, you know, about a month ago it was, he should be the Jack Adams, you know. And now it seems a lot of Ranger fans have gone the opposite way with him. Is it a fickle New York thing? Where do you put John right now?
I mean, coming from a bit more of an outsider point of view, I mean, I think that swing has coincided with the losing streak. And, I mean, I think that's more of a response to the losing than anything that that Tortorella has done with his team. I mean, I think he's a very specific type of coach. I mean, I think you guys probably saw the player poll that came out around the All-Star game where, you know, players, he was one of the either number two or number one least desirable coach to play for. And I think that's just a fact of his demanding personality. But I also think that demanding personality is part of the reason the Rangers have played so well this year. You know, they have a lot of types guys on the team that respond well to that sort of coach. And, you know, they aren't going to back down, and they resemble his personality in a lot of ways. You know, for better or for worse. I mean, I think there are times when it grates on players and it doesn't work out. I go back and forth, but I'm mostly in, you know, just about everything he's done so far. I think he's pulled the right strings. And he also just seems calmer talking to the media. You know, last year he had a couple blow-ups that, you know, sort of made the rounds on blogs and elsewhere. This season he seems more mild-mannered. Obviously, I didn't know him in person last season, but he seems very much calmer than I expected him to be. I thought he would be more of a caricature than he really is, and he seems very intellectual, very poised, and you know, definitely got results out of a team that probably shouldn't be where it is given all the injuries that have happened to him.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I really we've kind of seen the kindler, gentler torts, although the you know, we've seen the passionate torts erupt a couple times this year, but I think he's handled the losing pretty well. I mean, he's pretty much summed up that he's gotten the team an identity. He feels like they're playing hard, and he's a little bit frustrated they're not scoring. You know, I mean, how much access, this is kind of going back to the getting to know you phase of our internet radio relationship. But how much access do you get to the players? Have you had a chance to meet with any of the players?
I mean, unfortunately, it's more of a factor of my position with Insider that I can't get more than I could. I mean, if I was if I asked for it, I'm sure I could get an interview and, you know, get out to practice every day. Would love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, that's just not my current working reality. But I mean,
right.
You know. Before games, you can talk to coach. After games, you're in the locker room and you're in the post game pressers. So that's basically been the extent of my involvement with the press corps and following the team.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would you know, that you could glean a lot from the coach. How is he? I guess I'll skip that question. I think I know the answer to the question I was going to ask, so I'm not going to ask it.
There we go. There's your time.
I want to ask about Amminger. He's kind of all of a sudden found himself in the doghouse, or just at least being a healthy scratch every night. And I kind of attributed that to, whereas I think the Rangers have gone kind of into talent evaluation mode, while they're trying to figure out who is really a part of the future of this team and who's not, and that's why Del Zotto is getting so much playing time as opposed to, you know, when he was sent down, and you know, it was obvious there were big problems with his game, and now, you know, he was back after, I don't know what it was, 4, 5, 6 games. Do you sense that you know, what's going on with Emminger and Del Zotto there? Are they just sitting Emminger so they can get a better look at Del Zotto for evaluation purposes, or did Emminger just play himself out of playing time?
Specifically, I'm not sure, but I mean, if you look at what role Emminger was brought into play at the start of the season, it was basically a 6th, 7th defenseman type role especially when they had Roosevelt. He was never going to be that, you know, top 4 pairing guy. And then, you know, at times he had to be due to injuries and some other circumstances, with Del Zotto getting sent down. But, I mean, if you look at the job he's done this year, you have to stand back and just be, you know, thrilled with what he's given the team, especially some of the young defensemen out there. I mean, he is the veteran now. and you know, in terms of just working with him, out there on the ice, I think he's provided a lot. In terms of his recent playing time, I think you're probably onto something with evaluating the talent. I mean, the six guys that they have going now, I imagine, would form the core going forward. I don't think you have Emminger in any long-term plans, just based on, you know, who they have in the system and the ages of the guys involved. So I think there's probably part of it, you know, is just that Michael Delzato has the potential to be a much more effective and lethal blue liner, especially in the element that he brings to the table is one that the Rangers badly need. You know, they need production from somebody at the point of the power play. And if Delzato ever reaches his true potential, that's exactly what he'll provide. And he's not going to provide that, you know, sitting on the bench as a healthy scratch. And then there could also be a trade element involved. You know, you're not going to be able to get good value from a guy if you have him down in the minors or if you're making him a healthy scratch. But if he's out there every night, he's showing scouts a little something, then, you know, maybe you get a little bit better return for him if you decide that you want to spin him off in a trade. Not saying that that'll happen, but that's certainly one possibility.
Okay. Now, with trading deadline coming up on Monday, give me maybe two names that you don't see with the Rangers after the trade deadline. Give me two players on the roster that you don't think that if you had to guess won't be here come next Tuesday.
Wow. I don't know if it would be two. I mean, I think with the depth in the injury issues that they have right now, I think that they'd really probably balk at sending anyone out, you know, with the exception of a guy that's going to be like a healthy scratch, like Chris Newberry, who's been a call up or something like that. It'd be tough. I think depends on the trading partner. It depends on the preferences. So it's really hard to say. I actually don't want to get into too much conjecturing with guys' names, but I mean, they certainly have some chips if they want to spin some guys off. I mean, Delzato's name's definitely been in trade rumors this season. You know, you got to look at how effective the current top six defensemen have been for the Rangers, and you could probably say McElrath's been become a little bit more expendable than he otherwise might have been. Beyond that, I mean, there aren't just a ton of guys that could part with unless they're getting back a size of, you know, a good forward. I mean, I don't think they would trade any of their core grit guys, and I don't think they can afford to trade any of their high-end skill forwards. So I think if they make trades, it'll probably be for picks and prospects more than any players that are currently in New York.
Okay. I got one other question I want to ask you, Chris Drury. Where do you see next year the Rangers? You think the Rangers will buy him out? They bring him back for another year. I mean, obviously the production from him has declined. The fans, for the most part, you know, that we've talked to, have had enough of him. What's Chris Drury's future with the Rangers, in your opinion?
I mean, I think that's up in the air. I mean, it's a very different situation than Wade Redden, only in that he's the team captain. I mean, you can get away with it when sort of everyone knows that it's a terrible contract, the production isn't there. It's tough to fault the team for sending a guy to the minors. But to send your team captain to the minors, even if it is the fiscally prudent thing to do, that's a tough sell to any other players that are potentially signing with the team or already on the team. I mean, Drury might not have given them as much as they'd hoped production-wise this season or even over the course of his contract as a whole. But, I mean, he still has provided a lot. I think he's a good character guy. And he sort of laid the foundation that Callahan and Dubinsky and Marc Staal are, you know, sort of carrying that mantle now. I think the Rangers will probably talk to him in some capacity. And again, this is just me guessing. If I was paying what he's being paid, and getting, you know, just the production that he's been providing. I mean, I would imagine the Rangers would be thrilled if he accepted a buyout. I'm not sure that they would necessarily approach it, but certainly that would free up a ton of cap room for them. And then from his point of view, you at least don't have the possibility of getting stuck in Hartford with Maturin. You can sort of control your own destiny a little bit more. So, I mean, it's an interesting question. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about it after the season ends. That'll probably be a big topic. Because I mean, with the current contract he has, I can't see him being too palatable to other teams. So I think something would have to happen first. And whether he fits in the Rangers' plans or not, I don't know.
Okay, and they can't send him to the minors because he has a no movement clause.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah,
so he would have to approve that. And unless he wants to be closer to his pizza restaurant, I can't see that happening.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's a good catch.
All right, now I have one other question for you, and then let Eddie get after you again. But my other question is, there's been a lot of speculation about hockey in general coming back to ESPN. A lot, most hockey fans aren't thrilled with the coverage on Versus. What do you think? Is hockey back on ESPN a possibility in the future? Or,
I mean, you always hear the whispers. I mean, obviously I'm based out of New York. I go to Bristol a couple times a year, and I'll be up there more starting this summer. But I don't have anything official. I don't have any memos that have crossed my desk or anything like that.
Just looking for speculation on your part.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people inside the company that love hockey a lot and would be thrilled to see it come back. Obviously, it's a numbers game. You know, when it comes down to that final decision, you know, how many ads can you sell against it? What goes away if we start broadcasting a nightly hockey telecast? You know, do we take off college basketball one night? Does it cut into college football? Those are the sort of equations that are going to start kicking around when it comes time to make an offer. But I mean, I think there's definitely interest. I mean, hockey is a great sport. It's on the rise. You know, people are behind it in a way with new technology that you know other sports haven't even really fully tapped into yet. I mean, I think what the NHL has done with web broadcast and their cell phone video and cell phone coverage, I think it's just great. So I mean, I think there's definitely a possibility it could happen. I mean, I certainly wouldn't put it off the table.
And did you see the story today that came out that they might be looking into broadcasting live games on YouTube?
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. I mean, anything that exposes the game is good for the game. You know, I think it's hard to watch hockey, at least you know. Coming from a guy who grew up in Connecticut and not fall in love with the game. I mean, it's fast, it's exciting. You know, people are hitting each other, pucks are flying. It's not a lot to like.
Yeah. Eddie?
I had a question. You know, kind of a guy that's kind of slipped through the cracks, I guess, as far as you know, some analyzation where he is with the club is Sean Avery. You know, we've had Tortorella come out on several occasions, especially the last couple of weeks, say he's trying to find the best three lines. And if you really look at it and break down the line situation, Sean Avery is really not in that equation. And although I have to give credit, Sean's been a good soldier this year. He's taken whatever role that they've given him, and, you know, shut his mouth and just gone about the whole thing. Do you have any inklings or ideas or maybe, I have a feeling Sean is going to wind up elsewhere, although the big question is where, because he's a guy that not every team wants, you know. How do you assess his play so far?
That's a good point. I think he's been great. I mean, this season in particular, I mean, he's had his troubles in the past that have always been well documented. I think that bigger than any of the off-ice stuff and the interview issues has been his propensity to take really dumb, badly timed penalties. And that's the stuff that, mm-hmm. that'll drive coaches nuts, and it has obviously ticked off Tortorella from time to time. I mean, I think this season he's been much better about that. He's been a very, very effective pest. And his play with the puck is extremely underrated. I mean, when Gavrik was really going for about five games the middle of the season, I mean, it was Avery that really sort of jump-started him. And he's crafty with the puck. I mean, he has the hands to do something with it. He always skates hard. He's quicker than you'd think. And, everyone knows about the edge he has in his games and, you know, the way he gets inside the heads of his opponents. So, I mean, I've been really pleased with him. Obviously, you know, there's the whole, dirty player aspect, which is another issue entirely. But if he's on your team, you know, I think that the Rangers have to be pretty happy with him. As far as how he fits into the future, I mean, there's only so many roster spots, and I think they got a lot of promising candidates to come up and fill them. But I would be hard-pressed. They're not going to take a really hard look at him and see what they think next season, because he's a good fill in the cracks type player.
All right. I think he may have redeemed himself, maybe in the eyes of some other GMs. You know that mm-hmm. He can play without taking stupid penalties and hurting the team and being more of a an individualist, so to speak, than a team player. It'll be interesting to see where he falls.
Just not in Dallas or Newark.
Yeah. I think those two will be a little tough.
All right, Mike, I got one last question for you, and then we're going to let you go. And we appreciate you. Here's the last question. In 5 years from now, are the New York Islanders still the New York Islanders?
Wow. Can I answer 4 years from now? I think until the lease comes, into its final year, there won't be any movement. And I mean, I really think that the team and the town are at complete loggerheads over the, any new stadium development. I mean, their best bet, and it's not even a good one, is to tag on with the Nets when they come to Brooklyn. But I mean, it really seems like this is heading for trouble. And to me, it's a little bit inexcusable. I mean, I think there should be no expectation that a town needs to finance a sports arena. Somehow during the past 10, 20 years, we've somehow gotten to the point where that's almost the norm. But, I mean, yeah, the fans come to the game every night, and they pay tickets, and they put money in pockets by buying concessions and, memorabilia and shirts and jerseys, and, they got to build you a stadium, too. I can't get behind that. I'm not a big fan of that at all, and certainly Wang's not earning for money.
I'm kind of with you there. If you have a business and, a hockey team, they're a business. It's up to you to find a place to put your business, not for you to expect the town where you want to build your business to build a place for you. So I'm kind of with you on that. I see where you're saying.
Absolutely. And I think the pivotal point in this debate is going to be Gary Bettman and where he falls on it. If he takes the hard line like Bud Selig did in baseball, where he just thinks that it's in the sport's best interest for locals, communities, towns, cities to be building these arenas, then there's a very real chance that they move because there will always be some town out there that thinks it's a good idea to do this and to shell out the money, whether it be Winnipeg, Quebec, Las Vegas, Seattle, there's always going to be some place out there. Kansas City's already put on the map. I mean, there's always going to be somebody that's willing to do it. And until it's sort of established that Bettman won't allow that, there's always going to be this cloud hanging over the Islanders and the Thrashers and any other team that struggles for multiple seasons. So I hope they're still here. I mean, it wouldn't be the same without the Islanders. Obviously there's a butt of many jokes, some more deserving than others, and most of them should start with the ownership and the way the team is being handled, because the the players are, you know, out there busting them, their humps every night, and the fans, you know, are with them to the bitter end. I mean, I can't imagine going to this opening day and then sort of just knowing how the season's going to turn out already. And my hat's off to them. I hope they stay, and I hope they improve.
All right. Well, there you have it. Mike, we appreciate you coming on with us. And as far as we're concerned, the Islanders can go ahead and move. Seattle Islanders has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you miss them.
Not really. Mike, thanks for being on with us tonight. And let's hopefully you come back again and talk to us. This was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, Mike. Guys, appreciated it. All right.
Hey, have a
take
good
care.
Night. You too. Take care.
Bye. All right, that was Mike Hume from ESPN New York. Now, the Islander question was a perfect question to set up, and you can hear the dog barking in the background there. I apologize. But we have a perfect setup for our next phone call because we have someone on the line who wants to wish you a happy birthday. 631-374, we go to the phones. Caller, are you there?
Hello, who's that? I want to speak to the mouse. This is Shanghai Charlie. Wishing the mouse a happy birthday.
Thank you, Shanghai.
Hello, mouse. How old is the mouse? 12 years old?
No, 46. Hey,
your mouse 12 years old.
My mouth is 12 years old.
I got present for you, camera. I got one camera for you, present.
You got me a camera? I don't think this is Shanghai Charlie. Are you impersonating somebody else? I believe that you may be an owner of a certain hockey team.
This is Shanghai Charlie, the captain of the Long Islanders.
Oh!
The emperor of Long Islanders. We catch up with you.
Am I?
You got Ranger Crisis. You got Ranger Crisis. You barely hang in there.
Now, listen. You bought me a camera? Is that what you're saying?
No, we can't afford anything. We don't buy camera. We find one in mausoleum in Portugal.
Oh, okay. I don't really know what to say to Charlie.
He just called to wish you a happy birthday. That's all.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the Islanders organization. After all we've been through, has. It's you know, been kind to me on this joyous day.
Absolutely.
Do you think the Islanders have a playoff chance there, Shanghai?
We got cup run.
You're running for the cup?
Yeah, I'm running right now for the cup. I got a few cups.
Oh, so you're running with actual cups. I see.
Yeah, I found a cup too.
Am I mistaken, or is Eva in the car with Shanghai Charlie Wang?
Eva Wang?
Eva Wang.
I don't know. Sounds an awful lot like Eva back there.
Well, Shanghai, Shanghai, I wanted to ask you one question. Is it true that you're giving free egg roll with every ticket that you sell now?
Oh, come on.
Oh, you're funny, man. You hit below the belt again. Why you got to bring up egg roll? Always with you on the food.
Well, they call me the mouth.
Oh, I just go by Yokohama Asian Fusion Bar and Sushi. Just right there. I just saw it.
Jeez.
All right, listen, I got to go.
All right. Well, thank you, Shanghai Charlie. I appreciate the beautiful sentiments.
Sayonara.
Okay. All right, you have a happy birthday there, Mouse.
All right, I'll have a happy birthday in my mouth. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wang. Best of luck to your team down the stretch. We love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Wow. What a star-studded occasion this turned out to be.
You are a superstar, my friend, and everybody wants to be a part of your world.
I just can't believe that. Shanghai Charlie. Boy, I got to tell you, how long did it take him to come up with that name? 30 seconds?
It sounded an awful lot like Eva in the background. I don't know.
Eva Wong.
Eva Wong. Oh, man.
Oh, anyway. Holy cow.
Maybe we need to play Paulie D's commercial or something. We need a break.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. That was good.
Wow.
He is very nice. That's very nice of him to call it.
I think so, yeah.
All right, back to the phones we go. Save us from the insanity. 203-463, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? 203, you're on the air. Nobody there. All right. Phone lines are open, gentlemen and ladies. 646-478-4692 if you want to call in. All right, so why don't we get back to talking about last night's game? Because we didn't really get into it much, but first of all, of course, we had what was the guy? Harry Harrison scoring his first goal in 22 games. So of course we got that out of
that.
And then we had Eric Cole and Mark Stahl all on the ice at the same time. It was very confusing for Joe Micheletti. Did you notice that?
Yes, I noticed that. I noticed that, was it Eric Cole? Eric Cole, I thought he was Yari Curry the way they were building him up in that game. Look at Eric Cole! Cole!
With speed! That's another one of Sam's favorite lines. With speed! Cole with speed!
But I think, you know, while we're talking about last night's game, let's talk about the hot button issue. And that is Eric Stahl's hit on Mark. And I got a feeling a lot of fans are going to be divided on what they think. I know Ranger fans are a little bit divided, more divided than I thought they would be. But was that hit dirty or not? I want everybody's opinion. Jim, you weigh in right now, baby.
I did not think it was dirty, no matter how hard Joe tried to sell it to me. It was Joe, right? Joe was on the... was on the headshot fence.
Joe wanted to say it. Joe was trying to say it, and I think he did say it. Sam didn't want to say it because you know how he's in love with the Stahl brother. He loves that storyline.
I thought it was a clean hit, but I just thought it was another example of the two brothers, Eric and Jared. They go at it. I mean, they go out of their way to lay into Mark, and I'm not sure what it is. You know, I was kind of thinking that maybe Eric Stahl has what did I say? Jared?
Yeah. Jared, yeah.
Oh, he's the other one. Okay, sorry, Jordan. Yeah you're right, Jordan.
If I don't correct you, there's 15 people in the chat room will correct you, and I feel I'm not doing
it. I'll get 15 IMs, Jim. It's Jordan, Jim. See, there goes Emily.
We already got people.
There it is. There they go. Yeah, I know. All right. Big deal. Who cares? Anyway, I kind of wonder if Eric goes out of his, you know, it's kind of like I've been in the league longer and I got to make sure that you know who big brother and who little brother is. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you have a younger brother, right? Is your brother younger than you?
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I had three younger brothers, and you kind of get that, you know, you get that mentality, you know, you're competing at something, and there's always that extra edge that you want to make sure that your little brother isn't getting the better of you, or, you know, you want to make sure he knows who's first in line in the family, and that, I don't know how, but it just seems like every time they get together, Eric's getting, you know, questionable. I won't say it wasn't a dirty hit. It really wasn't. It was clean hit. Mark had his head down, and you know, he got what he deserved, really, for skating with your head down. And if it's anybody else, we're not really even having this conversation, probably. But it just does seem like Eric goes out of his way to kind of stick it to him.
Yeah. Well, my take on this is that I've noticed, especially this year, when they've played against each other, that Mark has really been winning the one-on-one battles with both of them. He's becoming such a frustrating guy to play against. And now that, you know, the little brother is all grows up and is really, you know, at times making them, you know, frustrated and making them look foolish. And that's what I've seen, folks. So what happens last night is, you know, it's not a dirty hit. But what annoys me about it is that he saw his own brother prone, and he decided to take, I wouldn't say run at him, but decided to take advantage. And that's the problem I have with it. And Zen brought this up in the chat room as well, that Eric Stahl just looks like a douche. And, you know, I just hate his face. I hate everything. He's a super player, but I just don't like him. And when he did that, I understand. Listen, I'm all for hits. I'm even for some dirty action if it's warranted. Dirty play in hockey, that is. And, you know, it's, you know, I try not to look at it through Ranger-colored glasses. And, you know, if Avery would have done that, I wouldn't have said it was dirty. But the fact, I would have been like, well, don't put your head down, dude. You won't get hit like that. But the fact that it was his brother and he sought to take advantage of a play that really wasn't instrumental in the hockey game. You know, the play was along the boards. There was no scoring chance. That just didn't ring right with me. But was it a dirty hit? No. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, that just wasn't right. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how everybody else feels. That's just the way I felt.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. You know, and it just seems like whenever these brothers get, and did you know they were brothers? Whenever they get together, they just go out of their way to beat up on Mark. I mean, you know, Mark's got to get a little. He's, I don't know. Mark needs to throw it out the window that he's got a couple of brothers and he's got to get you know, a little mean streak to get back to him. You know, get back
yeah,
at him.
And you often wonder, like, do the guys on the team say, well, you know, do they take, you know, they take Stahl's number and remember that hit and say, well, you know, Preston's going to go out there and you know, seek some retribution, or they feel, well, it's just a brotherly thing. You know, I don't know. I know if I was out there and, or you know, I would, listen, you can't hit our best player like that. I mean, although it's a clean check, and I do see people's, you know, the reaction nowadays, if anybody gets hit, everybody flips out, which I guess I just kind of endorsed by saying, oh, I got to go after him, even though it's a clean hit, but it's a nasty hit. And now you can't hit anybody nasty, because if you do, then everybody's going to fight. Nobody can take a hit anymore. But I think when it comes to Mark Stahl, and you see him hit like that and bang his head against the ice, which that really scared me on the replay when I seen him bang his helmet against the ice, and he goes off, and God, let me tell you, folks, when they had Girardi, they matched Girardi out with McDonough, Gilroy, and Delzato. When they had Girardi and Delzato out there, I was like, holy crap. I couldn't wait for the shift to be over. So please don't score. Please don't score. Please don't score. Please don't score. You know?
Yeah.
You know? And McDonough, I felt comfortable, which is the guy with the least experience I felt the most comfortable with. Believe it or not. So, you know, it's a tough call. You know, I don't want to be like you can't hit. But, and then he turns out with this knee injury. Now he's got a twisted knee. And we didn't hear much from, you know, what it is. What, I mean, could they be covering up another concussion? I mean, you know, to me, from what happened last year, I'm still burnt by the Rangers organization being so secretive and just not being, you know, forthright. That, you know, if this guy's out with a concussion, we're done. Because Gilroy and MDZ have not been playing well. I mean, they're just not good enough. They're certainly not good enough to be fours.
Right.
You know, be a fourth or third guy. We all know that. So I'm a little worried, Jim. I'm a little worried because – go ahead.
Well, Mike M. Leach, who was on the show with us last week for the blogger roundtable, said last night on Twitter, and I agreed with him. He's our most irreplaceable player right now. And I would agree with that.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if Henrik were to go down, sure, we may not win as many games, but can I see him being good enough for us to get in the playoffs? Yeah, I think, you know. But if Mark Stahl goes down, there's just nobody who really can eat up those minutes.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's just nobody of that that quality that can eat up those minutes.
Yeah. All right. No, I agree. Are you ready to go back to the phones?
Sure.
Oh, and did you hear what, real quick before we get back on the phones, did you hear what Joe said after that hit? He goes, Eric wouldn't purposely try to hurt his brother, I don't think. He's like real, yeah, real hushed about it. I don't think. It's funny. Anyway, all right, we're going to try again with 203-463. You're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this?
It's Mark. Sorry about that before, guys.
Hey, Mark. That's okay.
How you doing?
Hey, Mark,
how you doing?
How are you?
I'm really good. Happy birthday, Eddie.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. I guess we'll start. You guys were just talking about the whole stall thing. I kind of agree. Actually, I thought you brought up a really good point. The word I kept thinking of was excessive. I wouldn't call it dirty, you know, but it definitely seemed excessive what he did, because you're right, Eddie. It was out of the play. It really didn't have any consequence on what was going on. And it's interesting the point you brought up about why there wasn't really a lot of retribution. You're right. If somebody like, you know, what's his name, Matt Cook or somebody else hit Stahl like that, you got to think Girardi or whoever was on the ice at the time would have just been really pissed. And everyone was just, I think you're right, it was like this second where people maybe were, you know, writing it off like it's a brotherly thing. And I, you know, and the media and Sam and Joe, and I'm sure other, you know, it's like they really build that up every game whenever they play each other, whether it's Jordan or whether it's, you know, Mark against Eric. They really play it up like, oh, these guys had dinner last night, but now they got to play against each other. So there's a, you know what I mean? So there's like a certain amount of like intrigue that, and then when something actually happens, and I think you hit the nail on the head, you know, Mark has pretty much been outplaying both those guys for the most part when they do play against each other. And I think, Eric, you think back to the All-Star game when he was like screwing with Mark, you know, picking Lundqvist first and all that, you know, and then he does this. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the two are related, but maybe there is some sort of like ego thing going on with Eric versus his brother. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think it's big brother, little brother. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And I still stick to it. I think that Eric, I mean, that Mark is starting to really show that he's, you know, at least on some of the, at least lately on the one-on-one confrontations, he's winning them all. I mean, I've been, you know, they make
yeah,
note of it so you know during the game, you know. I mean, so I think that has a little bit to do with it, but I just, he was prone. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. He had his head down, you know, absolutely.
You know, even if he was not your brother, I mean, at
that
situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
You know, and Eric Stahl's not really that type of player. I mean, I don't think he is.
No, but that's where the whole brotherly thing comes in, maybe because it was Mark, and he was, oh, you know, this is where, I mean, I don't know. It's such a quick game, and that was a pretty quick play. It isn't like he took a few steps towards him. You know, it just, I think, like I said, the word be excessive, where he just laid him out, and, you know, and then he gets hit, and you're right about the whole, now he's got a knee injury, and is that just a cover-up for a concussion? I don't know, but I thought of the same thing when it happened, and when they showed the replay of him hitting the ice, his head in the ice, I'm thinking, oh, no, and here we go again, kind of thing. So I was just, I don't know, there's just all these question marks with the whole relationship between them, and then, and you know, that particular play, and how, and actually how the Rangers reacted, or didn't react, really.
So did you stick with the whole game last week?
Well, are you ready for this? I'm glad you asked me that. You ready for this? I couldn't watch the game live, so I DVR'd it. And I get home. I was out, whatever. I usually don't even go out during the week, but I'm out. I get home, calm. Oh, I'll watch the DVR for whatever. And I even, you know, there's an option on DVR where you can set it for an extra hour in case it runs over.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened I don't know what happened with, because, I mean, even in the regular season, you really shouldn't have to do that, right? That should only be a playoff thing. I'm like, I'm watching the game, and I'm actually thinking of what I said to you guys on Monday, where, you know, they're a tough team, and they're hanging in there. I was actually starting to get pissed, like, oh, come on, you know, now they're doing this again, they're trying to come back. Literally, you won't believe, 3 minutes to go in the game, the DVR stops, the pause comes on. And I'm like, so I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I don't want to go watch it online or see the highlights. And, you know, it's like, it's not the same thing when you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So I'm like, so then I'm like, oh, but there's Rewind. Okay, so I'll tape that. So so then I watched Rewind this morning, and I got to see the tying goal. I was excited about that. It goes to the shootout. It stops just before Volsky takes a shot. I'm like, so then Rewind. And I think what happens, I've noticed this, you know, if there's games or whatever, they go over or a post-game show goes over, the time gets switched on MSG. You'll set the DVR for 1 o'clock, but I still get, like, Boomer and Carton for, like, 10 minutes before the game starts. So I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this, with Rewind, too. So then I ended up having to go online on the website to see the stupid goal and the whole, you know, with Biron and everything. I'm like, I don't believe this, you know. And it was just, I can't believe you asked me that. But, you know, it was, I mean, obviously I'm happy they won, and that was nice. But just the whole, you know, the whole process of what happened, it was just ridiculous.
I was going to say, Ryan Loral in the chat room brings up a good point, and this slipped by me. If you notice the replay, you didn't watch the game, but I don't know. Did you watch the
I watched the whole game in its entirety. Okay. I had to watch it twice, you know, two different times. But, yeah, I watched the whole game.
Okay. Do you remember the replay when they showed Jim Ramsey, the trainer, go over to Tortorella?
Oh, yeah, and whispered to him, yeah, and he was –
And what was he indicating?
Well, I don't think he was indicating – Well, he was rubbing his head. He rubbed his head, but you couldn't – You couldn't really tell if he was actually scratching his head because he had an itch or because he was telling Cordell. I know, because I think Joe said, oh, no, it looks like he's talking about his head. And then Sam said what I was thinking. I was like, well, maybe he was just scratching his head. So I don't know. I don't know if you could really – that was a tough one. That wasn't like when he came out of the – he came out once before. Maybe it was Gabriel. I don't know. I forget. There was an injury where he came out, and you could see Cordell like, oh, shit. You know, he was, like, pissed, and he walked away. You know, and I don't think it was the same thing. I don't know. That part I don't really know what Rammer was telling him, so.
That was Fedotenko, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because that was like the second guy in the game they had lost or something. Yeah,
maybe last night was Torts. I got this ingrown hair on my face. I can't get rid of it. It's right here.
Exactly. So I don't know. That was a tough call. If he was actually, you know, motioning to actually tell him something, or just happened to be scratching, you know, his head.
Yeah.
But I actually.
No, I was just gonna say I thought that was a good point by the person in the chat room because.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was very subtle. I mean, if you didn't really pay attention to what was going on, absolutely. But I wanted to talk about – I only heard the last part of that interview with the ESPN guy. But he was talking – I don't know. Did either one of you guys listen to the Bettman interview on The Fan? Did you happen to catch
that?
Yeah, I listened to it. It was really good. It was actually – because somebody posted on it on the Banter site. So I went over and I clicked on it. It was like an hour long. It was really long. And he sounded really – he actually came across really well. I mean, you know, usually he sounds kind of – like he's trying to dodge the questions or whatever. Or at least that's my impression. You know what I mean? He comes across that way. He came across really well. As a matter of fact, Francesa came across sometimes pretty annoying and arrogant. He was like trying to get into a battle. Well, I haven't listened to Mike and the Mad, you know, since Chris has been gone. That's been like years since I listened to those guys. So anyway, I listened to Mike, and he's saying things like, oh, Lemieux's a brat. You know, they were talking about Lemieux being outspoken about the penalty, the fines. And he was actually trying to bait Bettman into getting into some kind of debate about how Lemieux's always been a spoiled brat or whatever. And Bettman didn't want to have any of it. He's like, you know what? We did this. He's been a good owner. He saved the Pittsburgh franchise. He actually, and he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I thought, in a way, I mean, you know, I'm not a big Lemieux fan either, but, you know, he did the right thing. He stood up for the guy's helped the franchise, and Mike was getting to be just a pain in the butt. But anyway, the reason I brought that up is because you guys are talking about ESPN versus as far as the contracts, and Mike asked Bettman about that, and he said, well, first of all, you guys, I'm sure you know, after Sunday, now it's NBC, Comcast, and versus. They're one big company.
Right.
So they were doing cross promotion. They were having that Hockey Day in America, and then then they were cross promoting a game on Versus, the Heritage game. So I think from that standpoint, Versus maybe now, up until now, you know, I'm like everyone else. I think it's just ridiculous that we were on versus ESPN. But you know, if this new corporation and Dick Ebersol, who does a good job with NBC, if he comes over and helps out with Versus, you know, maybe they get rid of McGuire or whatever and Milbury. You know, I mean, I don't know. But I mean, if they do something like that, I could see it helping. But the only thing Bettman actually said was, well, you know, Versus is growing and we're growing with them, and it was all kind of like a relative thing. And the first thing I thought of when he said that was, yeah, the Versus is growing, but, you know, what about comparing their viewership with ESPN's viewership right now? Forget about, you know, it's like if you go by based on percentages, you know, you can make anything look great. Like we went from one person to two people, that's 100% growth. But you know what I'm saying? But versus what ESPN, if they were suddenly on ESPN next year, you know, all the, you know, come on, they would get a huge market. There's ESPN restaurants and stores and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that's the thing. It's almost like, it seemed like with that contract, I don't know what, you know, and Bettman also claimed to not have a grudge against ESPN. I guess there were some battles they had, you know, back when they left or something. You know, he said that's, you know, there's nothing there. I don't know if that's really true. But anyway, I wondered what your guys' thoughts were on that. You know, independent if you actually heard the interview or not.
Well, you know, I remember when they lost the contract, right, I remember that there was no contract in place, and it was like a last-minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the details, and they had to go to Versus, who, you know, was like fishing programs and,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Management,
yeah,
in USA.
It was the
Outdoor
Life Network.
That's right.
That's
right. Very good.
The Outdoor Life Network, yeah.
OLN.
That's right.
And you're certainly right. With ESPN gives you immediate credibility.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, it even gave poker credibility. So, I mean, you know, so I think to have them on ESPN would be the greatest thing because, you know, all the bars, they turn on ESPN.
Absolutely.
And to see hockey on, to get somebody interested in this sport because, you know, I'm not as down on the Versus coverage as a lot of people are.
Right.
I mean, because I know where the channel is and, you know, it doesn't take much to satisfy me. You know, the game is on. So, but ESPN, like you said, they're an icon.
Absolutely.
In sport. I mean, if you can, you know, hitch your wagon to them, that's what you want to do.
Absolutely. And
now,
I think this whole debate about whether, you know, the fighting, you know, more recently people are talking about, you know, whether fighting should be banned or not. I think there's still this aspect of being on Versus, and for, you know, hockey, you know, let's say that Bruin Dallas game was right after some UFC stupid match. You know, I mean, if that's the demographic that you're trying to go after, people who are watching, you know, Ultimate Fighting, and then 2 minutes later, you know, there's the beginning of a hockey game and guys are beating the crap out of each other. I mean, that's what you're going to get. That's the message you're sending. Like, this is the lead-in we want to our NHL hockey games. Or do you want to be, I don't know. I mean, some people said, like, I think you guys were commenting, like, Dave Maloney is, like, above that. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that's the answer either, to say no fighting or whatever. But do you know what I'm saying? It's like, what kind of message are you trying to send to to what type of viewer do you want? I mean, think about the fact that I think hockey, more than any other sport, there's more women in the stands when you go to a hockey game than just about any other sport, I think. And they tend to be pretty good looking too. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? And you look at all the hockey players and their wives. I mean, but anyway, we won't go there either. But it's just, that's the thing. If you're going to appeal to a female demographic, if you're going to appeal to a thought, someone who actually pays attention to the game and isn't there for the brutality only of it, or that's not the reason they're there, then I think that's where ESPN really helps you. Because then, you know, then it's just, it gives it that credibility that you were talking about. And it's not, you know, we're right, like I said, right after UFC or before fishing or whatever, you know, all these, like, jamoke sports that just don't have a lot of credibility. I'm sorry, you know, as opposed to the top four. You know, I'm sorry. I know I'm.
I know. I'm laughing. You're speaking the truth.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you go to ESPN now. You're with college basketball and college football. You know, credible sports. And you know, you remember back then when it was first on, and you know, the late Tom Ease, and you had these guys who were really into hockey and stuff like that. And It was really good coverage, and I don't know, and I feel bad. It's like, why did that happen to go away? And the other thing is, you know, Versus, like, is still, as much as they're growing, they're not on every, you know, every station. They're obviously going to be on every Comcast. But now what happens if Comcast goes against Cablevision in some lawsuit or something, you know, and then all those people who have Versus now are going to get, because people are getting screwed out of MSG now with Cablevision, from what I read. I mean, I don't have it, but I keep reading that, how people, like, can't even get the games, or they have to watch them online, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I just... There's still a lot of problems with this, and his only argument was, well, we're growing with them or they're growing with us. And to me, I thought that was kind of soft, to be honest.
Yeah.
So arrogant was Francesa? I want to know.
He was actually okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that really pissed me off. He gets into this whole, like, you know, what about Lemieux? And, oh, he's always been a brat or whatever. And then Bettman defended him. But the thing, but then later on, Bettman asks, you know, a separate question. Did you get it, Mike? Did you get a chance to watch that 24/7 thing on HBO? Oh no, didn't bother. And there was one other thing that he just, oh, he had no clue that concussions were an issue in the NHL. He's like, oh well, I know they're a problem in the NFL. I hadn't realized they were in the NHL. I'm like, hello, where the, you know, either have the commissioner on with, you know, because
right.
if my memory serves me correctly, actually, when Mike and the dog were together, Chris was the one who seemed to be more knowledgeable at hockey than Mike, if I remember when I used to listen to them. But,
yeah, but even,
so maybe,
even
know,
Chris, even Chris
right.
has admitted that he doesn't like hockey.
Right, exactly. But at least I think he did the research or knew what was going on in the sport. I don't know. I couldn't believe it. It was like, it was just this tone, like, if you don't know that stuff, then don't get on your high horse about, you know, like, oh, I'm in with, you know, I know Lemieux's a brat because I follow the sport really closely. Do you know what I mean? It just came across like really Bush League from Francesa, who, honestly, I don't have that much of a problem. I used to love listening to those guys for years. So, you know, in 94, they actually did reminisce, both of them reminisced about being together. I think someone mentioned they were together at the parade or whatever. And then when they talked about 94, that was really cool. I was like, okay, this is cool. And I remember listening to those guys, and that was fine. And then I think, yeah, when Keenan left, and that was like a breaking story on the fan when Smith, you know, sort of fired Keenan and that whole contract disaster. And,
yeah.
You know, that was cool. And those guys were into it, and they were covering, and there was a lot of hockey coverage, you know. But now it's been, I don't know how many years since that, right, 15 years. And they're, you know, Mike clearly hasn't paid attention to hockey since.
No,
it
not
seems
really.
Like, you know, it's like he was basing his opinion based on Lemieux from 1989 or something. I don't know. It was just really weird. And I just, so, but that's, you know, that's one issue. Overall, it was an hour of Bettman, and I thought he came across really well. You know, and I just, you know, and hopefully, and actually, oh, the other thing to bring up is he has an 86% approval rating, according to a USA Today poll on the four commissioners of the top four sports. Which really surprised
what?
Me because, yeah, I couldn't what? Believe it. I was like, are you kidding me? That it was like he quoted that Francesa brought out the USA Today, and they're reading it, and you know, you hear Bettman. I think there's like a Bettman website to fire him and all that other stuff. I'm like, oh my god, where did that come from? I mean, I don't know who they polled, but it was, you know, it was surprising. Bettman's joking, and he was, what's that?
What, they polled the Bettman family?
I don't know. But he was like, oh, I should ask for a raise or something.
Park, I got to go off here. You set me off. The fuse is lit. Isn't there a hockey event that he shows up to that not every fan boos him out of the building?
I know.
Even in 1994, the Ranger fans were euphoric, and they still found time to boo.
Yeah,
him.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. That's true. I posted this on the. I have a little bit of allegiance to Bettman. He and I went to the same college. All right, so I, you know, he graduated, and I was like, oh, that's cool, you know. But I don't know. He's been there. I didn't realize he's been there 18 years. I had no idea he's been in the league that long. I wouldn't have guessed that. So I think if you look at that, it was like my comments about Sather the other night. You know, 18 years, is the sport really that much better? I think he had a good impact initially from a marketing standpoint. He came from the NBA. The NBA was on the rise. He came in, and then, of course, he had the benefit of the Rangers winning the Cup. I think that did more than what he actually did. I think since then, you know, has he really done stuff? I mean, so, you know, he's gotten 30 teams in the league, but are they all solvent? You know, and they're all, you know, we're constantly talking about, is the team going to move? And now Winnipeg wants it. He sounded more enthusiastic about Winnipeg getting a team again than Kansas City, which has a brand new arena that sound, you know, I know they had a team at one point.
I've
but,
been to. I've been
that?
To that arena.
Oh,
I've
really?
I've been to that Kansas City. It's beautiful.
Oh,
not
really?
Like that crap. That crap hole over there in Uniondale.
I know. Well, he talked about that too. He talked.
Gary Bettman in my age group, and I know you're Mark. You're around my age,
right? That's right.
Around it, every guy my age that I used to watch games since Bettman has come in, I would say after 5 years of Bettman, they had
right.
enough. He took all the testicular fortitude out of the game. All these inventions to make more high scoring doesn't work.
Yeah,
everything
that's a good point. I agree. He's tried to really spin a lot of things. One thing I thought of the other day, it was the Fox tracks. I remember that with the puck and everything. And I thought, it was a joke when the thing was like eight inches wide on your screen. But I thought there was some part when the puck went around the boards and you could see through the boards. I thought that was kind of cool. So there were things about that. But it's like they just kind of said, okay, we tried it for a year and it didn't work. That's it. We're giving up. Do you know what I mean? I mean, give that to Brendan Shanahan and his group, and I'm sure they'll tweak it or whatever, and they'd come up with some way that would work. but it's like a lot of this stuff seems to be very sort of on the surface here. So, you know, we're going to do things that on the surface seem like they're growing the game or whatever, but I really don't know. And again, if it's been 18 years and hockey is still, I think, entrenched in like a fourth place mode of all top four sports, really, then you know, yes, they're growing, but how much of an impact has he really had on the game? And that's, I agree with people who've, you know, kind of started, have lately been bashing him a lot, so I don't know.
All right, listen, Mark, we gotta let you go. We're
okay,
running short
no
on time. All right,
yep.
But we'll talk to you on the next show. All right, buddy.
All righty, take it easy. Thank you very much, guys.
Take care, Mark.
Take care,
thank
Mark.
You.
Yep. Bye. Bye.
All right. Next up, let's see. We have to bring James back in because James was here before, and I promised we'd get him back on. And here he is, James. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
James.
Eddie, my
man.
Brother. I had to tell you, happy birthday, man.
Thank you so much, James.
Couldn't let today go, but we go back a long ways, like a year, right?
Yeah, we've been hanging around over the internet for about a year now.
About a year now, yeah. Actually, really, it's been about 5 years, right? I mean, damn, way before the hockey thing here started on the internet radio.
Yeah, we used to. Are you still trade? We would trade vintage.
Yeah,
hockey
I'm still trading. We were youngsters, buddy. We were in our 30s, right?
I just wanted to ask a little about the trading. Has any older games come to the fore? Have there been more available or just more recent games?
Well, there was a bunch from the probably about the mid to late 80s, a bunch of them. I found some guy that had a bunch of them. Another guy got another bunch, and we all traded them all. There had to be about 50 games from like around 85 to anywhere from 85 to like 90, 92, something like that. There were a few there.
85 is where my cutoff was.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I found an old Ranger Fly game from 83 from some guy that had it. So I grabbed that one, man, converted it. And
I had a birthday present.
Hey, you got it, man. I still have your address, man, somewhere. I know that.
I'm only kidding. So what's going on? What do you think? Well, Jim, you wanted to say something.
Oh, no, go ahead.
As I say, Did you watch the game last night?
You know, yesterday was my nephew's birthday. It was 21st birthday, so I went to my sister's, and I was watching it on and off, and I still stuck with it. I kept walking over, watching part of it, walking back, and I heard the yells when he tied it up, Wolski there, you know, he tied it up, and then I watched the shootout, and I was like, please, just put the freaking puck in the net and get us 2 points here, and he did it, and, you know, made that nice wide, you know, went all the way to the right, cut in front, and thank God it went in, and okay, 2 points. We needed that badly. That was a big one.
Oh, yeah. To get 2 points and for them to get one was, you know, for the Rangers to get 2 points out of that game, because I really had them written off.
I mean, especially some of the other games that they played, and they were pretty much in it, and they just seemed to the games that they were winning in the beginning of the season, those close ones, and now they've been losing those close ones, you know, and to see them, you know, pretty much play a decent game and to come away with sometimes no points, sometimes one, and they deserve two. I mean, you know, it's like it gets you frustrated, and a lot of people that I've talked to are still frustrated, you know.
Oh yeah, people.
Yeah, we're just a frustrated fan base, man. I mean, we want to win, and you know, but I told you at the beginning of the year, I didn't let them fool me this time. You know, it's like they always do their free fall right around this time of the year. Like after they play like more than half the season, they're up there, they're around fourth, fifth, sixth. Then they drop to 7th and 8th and 9th, and then they're trying to get in, and either they get in at 8th or they just barely, you know, they miss it. So I say to myself, you know, hey, you know, I didn't expect much this year. To me, it, you know, it was more important to see these younger guys, say, get more seasoned, get some experience under their belt. And, you know, we've seen Delzato actually go backwards a little bit. And, you know, maybe he was rushed a little too much, you know, from last year and stuff. You see he lost his confidence totally. And, you know, some of the other guys, you know, and then we had a lot of injuries again. You know, Gabrick, even when he was playing, isn't scoring. So, you know, a lot of things not going our way, you know. So, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, all right, this is just one of these years. No matter what we do, nothing good's going to come out of it. So, you know, except maybe just get a few guys, like, say, to get the experience. Stepan's playing good. I mean, he's scoring. And, you know, we're doing all right. I mean, all in all, I mean, for a team that we have, and a Gabrick not scoring and being injured and a lot of injuries we had, I don't think we're doing that bad, you know, considering. You know, I think years ago we would have packed it up packed it up months ago and been way at the bottom.
Right. I mean, so what? I know you. I mean, you've been following this team since you were a teenager, and you know, like me and Jim and a lot of the people. You know, but we go back to the teams of the late 70s and
yeah.
all the way here. What? And I know what you're going to say before you say it.
You
what's your gut
well,
feeling on how, it's 20 games out. I remember last year, remember me, you, and Mandal, we were talking, I guess, 2 weeks left in the season or 3 weeks, and we were saying, where do you think they're going to fit? And I remember you saying something like, you know, or either agreeing with me when I said, you know what, it's going to wind up in heartbreak. It always does.
Yeah, we said it's going to be the last game of the season, and we're going to miss by a point, and I think that's what happened, right?
Right.
That's exactly
right.
What happened. We called
right.
the 20 games left in the season, we called it.
So what? Where are you now? I know the you're inbred to have this feeling of doom, but, you know, I mean, this is where we are at, folks. Y'all
yeah.
are old Ranger fans. Doom is just part of being a Ranger fan.
Yeah, they have that doom and the Ranger emblem in the dictionary, man, together, you know? And the Mets are there, too. I mean, it's just the doom after doom after doom, man. It doesn't get better for some reason. It's like we kind of just stay stagnant in one place for a while.
Like Brandon Prust said, it's just pain.
It's just pain. It's pain, and we're used to it.
Now, I also wanted to say, and I thought about this the other day. I'm always thinking in Rangers 24/7. This is why I don't really have a fruitful life. But
yeah, I know the feeling, buddy.
You know, there were a lot of fans in here who were around for 1994, and a lot of fans listening to the show who weren't around for 1994. And you know, in 1994, we said we just wanted one. But you know what? I lied.
Yeah. I lied.
Yeah. The feeling of 1994, it seems so long ago and out of my mind. It was long ago. You know,
it was.
Right, and especially with the Rangers not making the playoffs for 7 years. And all, I mean, we forget about that. We've had very little success. That this one, if they win the next cup, I think I might just be happier.
I agree.
Is that ludicrous to say?
I agree, because, I mean, yeah, we all loved our 94 team, and we won it, and it was great and everything. But, I mean, yeah, we had some of our guys there, like Ilitch and a Kovalev, and, you know. But, you know, a lot of those Edmonton guys, you know, without Messier, without those Edmonton guys, I mean, you know, what happens? I mean, yeah, we had Richter. I mean, we had a good team and stuff. We had a nice young nucleus there at that point. And, you know, Ilitch was only, what, maybe like seven years into his, you know, his career, and he's still had a ways to go. And like you said, Eddie, when you think about it now, all those 7 years of missing it after winning it all, you know, and then you lose, you know, the couple of years after. I think we went 95 and stuff. We got in, but we got, you know, lost after one round or two. I remember, I think we beat Quebec after being down 0-2 or something. Then
yeah,
I think it was 96.
The second round.
We beat Montreal, I think. Was that the one where we were down 0-2 and we beat Montreal? And then 97, Philly beat us, I think, and then that was it, right?
Yeah,
then we went on 7 years without anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like we've had a whole lot of freaking misery and just not enough satisfaction. I mean, really.
You know what it is?
So,
we've paid dearly for 1994.
Yeah. I mean, you hit it right on the head, man. All those young guys, every trade that we made, I mean, Neil Smith really had to trade away the farm to get these guys there to bring us the cup, and it was bad for a long time. And
You know, you look at it, and you know, and we're all, you know, close in age, so we're probably all in our 20s when they won in 94. And now it's like, you know, now we know what our fathers, you know, and our uncles or whoever went through, you know,
yeah.
all those years, the struggle they had to go through to get to 94. And it's like, you know, we were young, and, you know, we'd only experienced a little bit of the heartbreak over a couple of years, but... But now, I mean, you know, it's we've paid for it. We really have, you know, because
yeah.
it's been tough. I mean, the whole Keenan thing that blew up right after the cup, and then the lockout, and then, you know, everything else. Messier leaving just a couple, you know, two
yeah.
years later. I mean, you know, it all fell apart pretty quick, you know.
Doesn't it seem like a lifetime ago, right? It seems like it's, I mean, as quickly as you can remember these things, it seems like a lifetime ago. I mean, it just seems like so long ago. And it is. I mean, what is it we're pushing, like 17 years now already?
Yeah, 17
years. And you think about it, when did we start, like, you know, me, you, and Jim, we started watching the Rangers, what, in 78, 79 maybe?
I remember watching as a kid. I remember 74 and 75 and those old, I think it was with Peter Puck and all of that stuff. I think it was NBC or CBS, one of them things, as a kid. My cousins had actually gotten me more into it and stuff. And then by 77, 78, I remember watching the JFJ jerseys and stuff like that. I remember seeing a little bit of that. But in Brooklyn, we didn't have any cable either. So I used to watch every road game on Channel 9, and I laid in my bed with my big boombox, put the radio on, and listen to every home game. You know, I would listen to every. They'd be listening to what? Marv and Sal Redlight Messina, you know? And that's how far back it goes.
So that was 20 years that until 1994 that you watched, suffered. And now it's 17 years. So, you know.
To put it in perspective, it's 1957 for us. for the generations of Ranger fans that had to suffer for 54 years, for us it's essentially 1957.
1957. Oh man, the Brooklyn Dodgers will be leaving. The New York Giants are going to California soon.
So we're just waiting for Emil Francis to get here and start building us a cup contender.
Yeah. But he's going to trade. He's going to trade Rattell and Park, though. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Imagine you could go back like that Back to the Future thing and tell him, no, don't do this. You know. You know.
Well,
man.
Well, James, we're going to try to get a couple other calls in before we get to the end here, but always a pleasure to hear from you, buddy.
Oh, you got it, man. I'll be calling in more and stuff. Like I said, I was working late and later and stuff, and I there's still a few things that I'm always tying up loose ends and stuff, so I should be home in time to be calling in hopefully every week and stuff, but I didn't want to miss Eddie's birthday. I wanted to make sure I told him as close as I can and stuff. Of course, I wrote it on Facebook, too, but he's a good man and a lot of fun, and happy birthday to you, buddy, and a million more.
James, thank you so much.
I second that. Thank you, James. We'll talk.
All right,
to you
guys. Okay, Jimmy, take it easy, buddy. Take it easy.
Bye.
All right.
I love James. I absolutely love when he comes on because it gets into a whole reminisce, and you know, he's just a great guy. Great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's an energy player. He's a spark plug. All right, we got just about 3 minutes to go. We will see you guys, definitely, I believe, next Wednesday. I don't think there's a game next Wednesday, and we'll see if we fit in another show sometime around then or before then or after then or whatever's going on. But so we'll probably run into podcasts. I got two calls left on hold. So in case we just run out of time, thank you guys for listening. And Eddie, again, happy birthday and many more. And we'll see you guys soon. And don't forget March 26th at the Molly Wee for the Blue Shirt Banner Radio viewing party. We're all getting together. We're going to watch the Rangers take on the Bruins. So I hope you guys can come out and meet us. All right. So let's go back to the phones. 732-614. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Callie.
Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Callie. How are you?
We appreciate it.
Not no problem.
What's going on?
Happy birthday, Eddie. Just wanted to say that real quick.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Some quick things I had to talk about. I knew that after Wade Redden left, everyone's going to find their new whipping boy, and it looked like everyone picked Michael Roosevelt. And now that he's gone, I had to try and pick someone else to bitch around while he was for his time left in the Rangers. And it took me a while to find it because I didn't want to pick Chris Drury because I have a soft spot for him for what he did in the Olympics. And after last night, I found out who it was. It's Eric Christensen. That guy is terrible.
Done. Weren't you and I talking about this last night? Were you in the game thread on Blue Shirt Banner, or was it on Twitter or something? We were talking about it.
No, I wasn't.
I'm so done with Eric Christensen.
If you just try maybe a little bit more, you might be able to chip in the occasional goal, and we could avoid his stupid little shootout moves altogether.
And then
he didn't score
in the shootout last night, did he?
No, he didn't.
Well, then he's useless. If he ain't scoring in a shootout, then he's completely useless.
He's a lazy Canadian.
There you go.
That's my new whipping boy. For the entire time that Eric Christensen stays as a Ranger, he is my bitch. I don't think there's any better way to put it.
Why do they continually put him on the power play?
I don't know. I think Tortorella has, this love obsession with him. He can appear at any point. So he thinks, oh, maybe he'll put like he'll maybe make a nice move. But it's not going to happen. So put someone out there who can actually try the entire time and possibly put in the goal.
I don't. Does he do something in practice? Like, is he like, you know,
brings the pizzas?
Is he Sidney Crosby in practice and we just don't know it? Because when it comes to games, that guy should get no power play time. I don't care how much offensive skill he might have or he's that's untapped. He doesn't produce. He's a stiff.
Do you remember earlier in the season when Avery when he said that Avery sucker punched?
Yeah, I remember.
I can't remember the guy's name. I remember when Christensen said, yeah, everybody knows he sucker punched him, and we all got on his case. And then, like, the very next game, Christensen scored the first goal. You remember that?
I don't remember him scoring the first goal. I remember him calling out Avery on the sucker punch.
Yeah, and then, like, the very next game, I'm pretty sure he scored, like, the first goal of the game. Because I remember I posted on Facebook, Eric Christensen to Ranger fans, F off. what I was going to say was that's
against,
the last
I think it was the game against the Penguins where they went to overtime.
But my point was that's the last goal I remember him scoring in a regular season game. In regulation, I mean.
Yeah, he had another one against Pittsburgh, like when they scored four in the second. Yeah, they scored four in the third period.
Oh, okay.
They were down 1-0. I think that was the last time he scored.
I just scored against
Pittsburgh a lot.
I'm just done with him. I've had enough.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. There's a reason why this guy is on what, his fourth NHL team, fifth NHL team at the age of 26.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why when he walked away from the first offer the Rangers made him, nobody made him another offer and he came back to the Rangers.
Yeah. I think he's the most useless player on the team.
Well, if you're talking about whipping boys, I see Michael Delzato is.
I give him a little slack for being young. I mean, I think Eric Christensen's had his chances. I feel like Delzato's trying out there.
Right.
I mean, he's not playing good, but the effort goes a long way with me.
And you're right. He's like Jim said, he's done. He's just done. He belongs in the AHL.
Yeah, he's an AHL player. And I thought Delzato had a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, yeah. And he made a couple. I mean, the first goal was kind of his fault.
He made a nice play on the 3-on-1. He went down and blocked the pass, and then Cole was charging to the net, and he kept Cole from having an angle to shoot. I thought he played a pretty decent game last night.
Yeah, I think so too.
And he stayed out of the box because every time he takes a penalty now, you can just watch his face. He's like droopy dog.
Yeah.
The problem with that play is, though, it worked last night, but he does that a lot. He leaves his feet, and I'm glad he stopped the 3-on-1. That's when I guess you got to do when it's ultimate desperation. But a lot of times he leaves his feet too early, and he tries to make that spectacular play instead of, again, making the smart, you know.
Steady play.
Less spectacular.
Yeah.
Steady play.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with his offense. But now I wonder about MDZ is, I mean, his offense is completely gone.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at last night's game, the only guy who looked to pinch late in that game was Sauer.
Yeah.
I know McDonough is very, you know, he's still feeling his oats back there, and he doesn't want to make any mistakes. But I would think that Gilroy and MDZ would be more comfortable in rushing that puck or jumping into the play.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're just scared of being ostracized by Tortorella or what the deal is. But Michael Delzato has some offense in him. I just can't think he only had it for 30 games last year and it's completely gone now.
Right.
I think there's something mentally wrong with his game up here right now. He needs to go, I keep saying this, he needs to go to Connecticut. But right now we're too late in the season to really bring another guy up, or you know, and Emminger is out of favor at this point, so I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Eric Christensen to me is worthless at this point.
Yeah.
Other than the shootout.
Yeah. All right, Callie, listen, we're going to take one more call in this podcast and then we got to go.
All right.
All right, man. We'll talk to you on the next show.
Right.
Call in.
Right. Oh,
take it easy.
Bye.
Yeah. All right, one more call and we're done. because I've been he's been after me, promising, begging to get on the air. Cutter, how are you?
Happy birthday to you, the mouth. You're built like a hippo, but we love you as is.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Just a well-meaning happy
thank
birthday.
You. He just insulted you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm,
come
I'm
on,
being
you're,
facetious.
You're begging me for... Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Now, I'm going to take a little umbrage here with you, Cutter. From the minute you stopped that you got in the chat room tonight when the show started, you wanted to know when you could call in so you could get on the air because you wanted to talk. Then at 7:30, you bail on us to go listen to another show. Nothing against that other show. Nothing against the Paulie D show. You leave for an hour, and then you call back. You want to know when you get on, and I put you on in the podcast, which more people listen to than live. And the first thing you do is insult my dear friend, my co-host.
Well, it was just a joke.
All right. I could say I'm built like a hippo. That's a great warm birthday wish. But didn't he say I love you as is or something?
Well,
yes,
he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so that erased.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. So. All right, so what's on your mind tonight, Cutter, besides my morbid obesity?
Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about that.
I just want my partner to know that somebody hits him, somebody comes after him, I'm jumping in.
That's fine, I understand, Jim.
I'm jumping in. I'm no Dan Girardi.
Okay,
did you hear what he said? I said, no. Well, let's not talk about morbid obesity. He goes, yeah, let's not really talk about that.
Well, anyway.
I'm coming from the boards, pal.
I understand. So anyway, your Rangers are really struggling. It's actually upset me a touch.
Really?
You're coming around.
Well, logically, because you're making the Islanders look good, you're making the Devils look good, and you're making the Senators look good, and you're making my Leafs look good.
The Islanders made your Leafs look good last night.
Well, Leafs won. All that matters.
I know. We're very grateful for that.
I was a Leaf fan last night with your Jason Reimer in that. Reimer, whatever they call him.
Did you?
Reimer, yes.
Did you read the recap? He was sick. They had to give him medication after the first period. He said I thought I was gonna throw up on the ice. I feel the same way when I look at the Islanders. Yeah. He said he really thought he was gonna puke on the ice. I can relate. I do feel the same way when I gotta watch the Islanders.
Who Montoya or Reimer?
Reimer.
Reimer. Okay. Well,
He told the backup after the first period to be ready to go in, and then then he wound up staying in.
Right, because the Leafs are having problems with Gustafson because of his heart problems.
What has he got going with the heart? What's wrong?
I think it was, let me think, a couple of weeks ago that the game against the Whale in the AHL, they had to pull him after one period because his heart started doing something wrong. He's had some heart problems.
Yeah, he doesn't have one. Oh.
I thought he did.
All Leafs don't have hearts. Oh, come on.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Well, do you think your Leafs are going to make a playoff push now that they've beaten the Islanders?
Well, the Leafs are going to make a push, but I have a funny feeling we're going to stop short by about a few points.
Yeah, about 15.
15, no. A little too high. Well, we did pick the wrong time to peak after what has happened.
You peaked after game 8.
No, we really peaked after the All-Star break. I mean, we got out of the gate and all that.
After the All-Star break? That was after you guys lost 7-0 to the Rangers. What is your definition of peak? I think you better look it up.
Really?
No, that 7-0 game was before the All-Star break.
That's what I'm saying. How do you get beat 7-0?
Okay,
then you peak?
Your team looks worse than Phil Kessel's hair.
Yeah, Phil Kessel's hair does stink a little bit, I do admit.
I don't know what's up. What else is going on? What else is going on?
Well, I'm just going to make brief reference of this, but as I think you and Jim do know that I was doing that tournament with Team Blue Shirt Banner, and you guys did well. You did a Cinderella run, but you fell short to Pittsburgh, unfortunately.
We lost to Pittsburgh?
You guys lost to Pittsburgh, yes.
And we have... all right, so we lost to Pittsburgh. How did we play? What kind of series was it?
Well, in the round robin, you guys were 0-3. You ended up losing to Florida, Vancouver, and Calgary at first.
We would never lose to those. Who's our goalie?
Robbie.
Oh, that's why we lost. We got a young goalie.
But let me digress, Mouth. Then you play Vancouver.
Listen, you've been digressing since the first time you've called in.
Okay, I get it. I'll hustle. Then you guys played Vancouver in the first playoff round because you guys were the worst team in the round robin group, so you had to play the best team, which was Vancouver. And then Zach actually bailed you guys out with an overtime goal.
See, Zach's clutch.
He is.
He was in the right mind frame. He scored the first minute of overtime. And then in the quarters, you played Florida, and Sack did it again, scoring a late goal. But you guys had to go to the shootouts. Guess who bailed you out?
Coast of the Crazy Greek.
Nope.
Is he on a team? Eva, wow.
Yep, Eva was on the team.
Did the puck go off her breast?
No, she's
loaded for bear.
No, she faked Luongo out.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and then in the semis, you guys ended up playing... Oh, crap. Who was it?
What?
Jeff, can I ask you, what game system are you playing this on? ColecoVision?
No. PS2.
And what game is it?
It was NHL 2K8.
NHL 2K8?
Jesus.
You're due for an upgrade, kiddo.
Yeah, really. Somebody get the collection to get this guy $50 to upgrade him. Actually, I don't think they make it to PS2 anymore.
Right. You
got to
upgrade.
But,
I can't remember.
All right.
Yeah. By the way, folks, this is for our own edification. So if you want, if you're laughing along with us, continue on. If not, feel free to check out any time.
It's fun.
Jeff, I want to ask you something, Jeff.
Sure.
When you play in these games, do you feel like when Zach scores that, somehow Zach is there, or you know, like you remember the show, or is it just you made just a team up? Do you have any feelings or connections to this Blue Shirt Banner team that you've created?
Well, I mean, I had to have a connection. I mean, I built your guys, and I could have destroyed it, but I didn't. The main reason was because a couple of weeks ago, Zach said some kind of awkward comment. I don't know what it is. at me, and I was going to go like, well, you're lucky that I finished the series in January because I could have put Sac on suspension. But
the puppet master.
James, are you still there listening to this?
Of course.
James stayed on hold to listen to the podcast.
Hey, man, I'm laughing here with this thing here.
Okay.
So if I were to say something bad or something you didn't like, you would take me off the team?
No. There's no freaking way I'm gonna take you off the team.
That's love.
I know.
See, that's love, Jim.
That is love.
I don't hold many grudges. And morbidly obese, he will not take me off his NHL 2K8 game. That's love.
yeah, I know.
So how about the other guy? Say Rock. Did you have something with Rock going today? Say Rock. Will you bench him?
No, it was just basic. You know, like what Mandar says to me every time. I mean, I can take it. No problem.
Well, we can't bring up Mandar's name because we know that he did beat you in that trivia contest.
Yeah.
You claim that was rigged. You claimed that was rigged. You think me and Jim would rig a contest against you, our friend, Jeff Diamond?
Jeff? I guess he's had enough.
I've had enough.
He's still there, but his number's still there, but he's not talking, so.
Give him the crickets, and we're out of here.
Jeff, are you still there?
I just can't believe Zach was almost suspended. I can't wait to tell Zach he was almost suspended.
I don't know why I don't know why Jeff left.
I don't know.
He's a card.
He is one. I don't know what he is, but he's a nice guy, but he's got a weird way of showing it.
I'm sorry. I just started getting crazy with the sound effects, and then it was just fun.
Wait. Hey, am I still on this thing?
Yeah, you're still here.
Yes. Oh, now who was that? That was a guy.
That.
You're talking confused here, man.
Yeah, that was Jeff.
No.
Yeah, that was Jeff. He's from Toronto. He might even still be there for all I know. He's still on the switchboard, but I don't know. He might just be lingering what we say about him.
I thought it was some old broad. What the hell do I know? It was like a Betty White impersonator or something.
All right, fellas, I gotta go.
Uh-oh, wifey's calling.
No, I gotta piss actually.
You mean you don't have one of the portable toilets there? Okay.
No, that's a thought. keep a Snapple jar out here or something.
That's why he made his own studio, huh?
Yeah. Eddie, my friend, happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Eddie, take care,
yeah, man. Happy birthday again, buddy.
Bye.
All right, guys. Catch you next time.
Good night.
All right. Bye.